Sweet. So, do I tell you about the song at all?
No, but you
normally do the songs. Okay. Well, this song is called Existential Dread. And it sounds kind of bleak, but it's kind of upbeat. And I'm actually working on an EP right now, and this is one of the ones that we were recording yesterday. So cool. This is Existential Dread. Setting, so it may need a little volume adjustment. This song's a little heavier than the other song. This next song is called Just a Possibility, and it's actually, I wrote it earlier this year about something that's not all, there are not a lot of songs written about this, but it's about having trouble starting a family and miscarriage and the loss associated with that, but also hope that things can get better, and so far they have. see it from where you are. In time, there's only so much time. One day I hope to call you mine. I told myself not to be attached emotionally, just a possibility gone as quickly as it came. Don't want to sound pathetic, there's no other way to say it. The pain of the uncertainty, I wonder if it's not meant to be. Too many just say they'll pray. I'd rather silence any day than listen to another empty phrase. And time, there's only so much time. Gone as quickly as it came, and I told myself I'm over it, and yet I constantly contradict all these complicated feelings. There's no one else to blame. Don't it sound pathetic? There's no other way to say it. The pain of the uncertainty, just a possibility gone as quickly as it came. And I told myself not to be attached emotionally, but it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I can't help but to hope.
Usually we just like put the notebook between us. So, one moment. No, I actually can't hear you at all.
No?
Tap the mic again? Oh, you do need phantom power, would you believe it or not?
Oh, man.
There we go.
You just needed to do a switch.
Yeah. Last for a couple seconds after you've turned it off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even though I'd turned it off, it was still running it. That's why I was like, oh, it's good, never mind.
Sweet.
Okay, let's try that one more time. So, welcome to River City Sounds, episode 90. I'm Cole, here with
Kaylee Connor.
And is that your project name? What do you go under when you release things?
I've tried to come up with like a project name before, but I've never settled on anything that really fit. Mm-hmm. So I've just decided to stick with my name, Kaylee Connor.
And most times when you play out, do you play out with anybody else?
Most of the time, it's just me. My husband plays with me, too.
Okay, nice. What does he play?
He plays guitar, and he plays other instruments, too, but when he accompanies me, it's usually guitar.
Okay.
But he also plays bass, and he plays saxophone, too.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah, we're both big music folks, and I'd love to get a band, but it's kind of a time thing. Like,
yeah.
I've played with a drummer occasionally, that's been fun. It's been a long time since I've played with other musicians besides my husband, so that's been really fun.
Ashu, we'll get to this in a little bit, but does he play on the recordings you do?
No.
No?
Okay. No, not so far.
Well, we'll get to that here in a little bit. So you said we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of you being here in Richmond, is that correct?
Yeah.
So what brought you to Richmond originally?
So I'm originally from Orlando, Florida. And my husband and I are both from there. We met in high school. And after college, he's 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated from college, I was moving to Nashville to see what I could do music-wise. I had some fun opportunities. And so I went over there by myself. And he took a job up here in Richmond. And then the next time I visited him in Richmond, he asked me to marry him. I was trying to find a good way to word that, I guess.
Well, that's how you, that's what happened.
Yeah, he asked me to marry him. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to need to move to Richmond. And I didn't know anything about it. And he didn't really know much before moving here either. So we've kind of built a life here from scratch and we love it.
Yeah. No, Richmond's a really good scene for music, especially for the type of music that you play as well. I feel like you'll have a lot of success in the future coming up here. So it's unfortunate Chloe's not here because she's from Florida as well.
Oh.
And I feel like you guys might actually have a lot in common to talk about.
That would be cool.
Unfortunate. But Nashville, when it comes to Nashville, I've had a lot of people talk about wanting to move there and whatnot. What was your experience when it comes to playing there live? Because from my understanding, it's a lot of cover bands, and it's very oversaturated. Saturated. Yes.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, this was back in 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
Still very oversaturated. Lots of cover bands, but also they had like a lot of writers' nights and stuff too. But it was like pulling teeth, trying to like put yourself out there to book yourself, which is expected. I had a good experience. It was very, very hard to make money. So did a lot of random stuff for work and a lot of babysitting and nannying and all that. And, in terms of playing live, it was mostly either country or pop.
Yeah.
And if you're outside of that range, it was harder for you to break through. And I always considered myself more pop. And I tried to do a little more country while I was there to kind of fit in and did some co-writes and stuff because it's big co-write culture. Mm-hmm. Everybody I met was super nice, but it was like you're like a tiny fish in a massive pond and you're being swallowed up.
Yeah, I had talked to one band who was extremely excited about going there with like original music and whatnot, and they were a great band. But I was just like, we were sitting beside, but like, you know, it's mostly cover culture over there. Like, it's very oversaturated, and you might want to think about it.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, there are a lot of really wonderful songwriters and songwriting opportunities over there. And
there are other acts I could think of who would do a lot better.
But it's just so hard to break through.
Yeah.
And I felt myself getting a lot of writer's block over there actually, because I just felt like I kept thinking, well, is this commercial? Is this catchy? Is it going to do well if I send it in to get reviewed by the local songwriters association? Yeah. Like, am I going to be able to sell this to somebody and have them cut it on a record? And so I ended up just not even really being able to write at all because I was so in my head.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily anybody else's fault. It's just kind of a mix of the culture and also my own brain. So
you said of the two, you would find yourself more pop than country. Would you still describe yourself as pop, or what is a genre you would describe yourself as?
Definitely leaning more towards pop singer-songwriter, with some folky songs, some more alternative songs. I've gotten more into an alternative style since I've been playing electric. And just kind of experimenting with different guitar sounds. And I think some of that sound also kind of comes with more mature themes and that kind
of
stuff. So
some of the content you talked
about. Exactly. And it happened kind of naturally in that way. It wasn't a conscious decision. So I'd just say like pop singer songwriter, with a little bit of other things thrown in.
Yeah.
It depends on the song sometimes.
Yeah. Now when it comes to like writing topics, that's a really fun thing I've tried to do a lot recently, is give myself more of a topic to write on, as opposed to just like letting lyrics flow and like letting like, oh, the story found me, the song doesn't really actually mean anything kind of stuff. Actually, like, let's make a fiction, not necessarily your stories, some stories for myself, more like, let's make a fictional story. Here's the writing plot. Let's have fun. Let's play with it. And sometimes, if you were in that writing process in Nashville, how would that song changed a lot differently for you? And would it have been the song that it actually is that you care for? You know what I mean? Just what's the word?
I feel like it would have been more vague and more generalized, a lot of songs that I write. And maybe less experimentation with structure, as opposed to just being like, okay, you need verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, done. I think just number one, not having music be the main thing that puts money in my bank account. And then also just, I guess being more flexible with myself, putting less pressure on myself has made songwriting number one, more fun, but also it comes more easily now, 'cause I'm not pressuring myself. I'm literally just doing it for myself and for fun, and to make art rather than sell it to somebody.
So do you want to talk about maybe some of the influences you have musically who inspired the project you're playing?
In terms of, I think I have like two camps that my influences are. They're the things that I grew up listening to that I still go back to a lot, and then there's stuff that I've gotten into more recently. So I've always loved Jason Mraz and Sarah Bareilles, Jewel, Sheryl Crow, and then some other things that I grew up listening to are Paramore and Evanescence, so like strong female vocalists. And then more recently, I've gotten into some kind of like different shoegazy bands like Always, and then Soccer Mommy, and who else? But there's also a really good band that I've liked lately called The Beths. They're from New Zealand, and a couple of their songs on their album they put out recently, like, I feel like my song Pendulum kind of is inspired somewhat by one of their songs. And I've been listening to so many different things too. So widening my horizons.
No, the Beths does sound kind of familiar. In sort of the strong female led, but also shoegazy vein, there's a band called Mothers that's pretty good. I think they only have an EP out last time I checked them, but they're very good as well.
I'll have to look into that. And one of my favorite bands since I was like 14, they haven't toured or released anything since like 2017, but I've seen them in concert five times. I don't know. I need to do the math, but they're called Isley.
Oh yeah, Isley. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Isley's members of Isley, they have like side projects too that are all wonderful as well, and kind of dreamy pop with some rock guitars. And
yeah, Isley's quite good. I used to listen to them back in honestly, it's probably been since 2017 since I was listening to them.
I saw them at the Broadberry in 2017.
Very nice.
Yeah, and they They're awesome, and I feel like I've always been inspired by them at different points in my life.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the lead singer, the lead person of that band, married to Max Bemis from Say Anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just making sure I was thinking of the same band.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to releases, you said you just were recording yesterday and you released a song a couple weeks ago, back in January.
Okay. So beginning of the year.
And was that like the first thing you released in a while, you said, correct? Mm-hmm. So who have you been recording with?
So for the single that I released in January called Sensitive, I recorded it with Carlos Chafin at In Your Ear Studios.
Okay, yeah.
And then I recently did like a one-off single that I haven't released yet that I'm going to, called Absent Minded with Dawn of Pop Studios. And right now I'm in the process of working on an EP with English Oak,
okay.
English Oak Studios. And that'll be a 4-song EP, which I'm super excited about. Hopefully we can get it done and ready for like mixing and finalizing by the end of the year. Okay. And then 2024 release.
And then we can cut or edit this however you'd like. But what was the decision behind going to different producers for each of those? Was there something you didn't like, or maybe just wanted to branch out a little bit?
It was more just experimenting and seeing what was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been so long since I had really step into a recording studio. I had been doing little demos at home for a while and mostly just playing shows a lot. And I kind of made the decision, since life got less crazy and I switched jobs and had a better work-life balance and was feeling more inspired, and decided to kind of jump into it. Okay. Looked around. There are a lot of different studios and stuff. And so I wanted to network and get to know multiple people.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you found anything while working at those places, either of the three, has there been something that you've been surprised and pleased with when it comes to recording? Like, oh, I didn't know this is fascinating, or I'm having a really good time. Was there one specific aspect about maybe one or a couple of the places? You don't need to name specific, but is there something that you had fun doing, maybe?
It's just always nice, I think, and surprising to me when the people you're working with seem as excited as you are about a song, mm-hmm. rather than like, oh, I'm paying them to record something for me. And they're just kind of like, okay, what do you want? Is this what you would want? As opposed to bringing their own ideas and being like, oh, this would be really cool. Or, oh, I really like that part.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really pleasantly surprised by the enthusiasm and creativity and just bouncing ideas off of people. It's been really cool, because I'm used to keeping a lot of that inside and just mm-hmm. kind of assuming that people don't really want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
it's like the inner anxiety brain shutting all that down.
So you've kind of already answered some of these questions for me here in the Richmond section. Have you found a favorite bar, brewery, or restaurant, maybe a hangout spot in Richmond that you and your husband or your friends like to go to?
Let's see. In terms of hangout spots, we're mostly homebodies, except for when we're going out to see concerts and mm-hmm. everything. Restaurants, there's a taco and burrito place, a Mexican restaurant that we go to about once a week.
Okay.
We actually ate a burrito today. Their burritos can be big, so we literally...
What's it called?
It's called TBT El Gallo.
Okay. Now, do some people just call it El Gallo?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
the cook's nickname is El Gallo, which means the rooster.
Oh.
And TBT stands for Totally Badass Taqueria.
Okay. See, that's the other thing. Chloe's a lot better at the food culture of Richmond as well, and the beer culture, so she'd be a lot better to talk about.
In terms of breweries, there's a brewery super close to our house actually called mm-hmm. Table, and they're really good and just a fun little spot to hang. And then Vossen and a lot of the places in Scott's Addition are great. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend TBT El Gallo for a good burrito and street tacos. And then a more recent restaurant that I really like is Pinky's in Scott's Addition. Mm-hmm. They've got like tapas.
Yeah, and more of Pinky's.
I ate a chicken sandwich there last night because I was really hungry in the studio and it was walking distance. Mm-hmm. And it was so good.
I'm going to have to reword this question for you specifically as opposed to for a band, but what are some interests that you have other than music?
Well, my day job is that I'm a pharmacist.
Okay, fun.
So I like scientific stuff and mm-hmm. learning about medications and reading about science and healthcare news, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Kind of nerd out about medications and medical things.
This might hit a little differently now that you're 4 months pregnant. I can cut that out if you don't want me to say that.
No, but it's okay.
What's your favorite snack?
Oh, yeah, no need to cut that out. My life kind of revolves around food right now. I mean, I love a good pita chips and spicy hummus.
Okay, yeah.
I like these little chia fruit pouches, mm-hmm. Something kind of weird. There are these high fiber, low carb tortillas that we usually make like tacos with and stuff. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll just eat
one.
A tortilla by itself. I'm like, whatever.
Now my dog Bones, he has so many allergies. Sometimes we have to like just stop feeding him his food and just give him like rice and bananas and stuff. And the recent thing I've gotten into is like cutting up banana and throw it in the freezer, and I'll just have a bowl of like frozen banana slices and just eat them like chips throughout the day. I don't know why I really like doing that, especially when I'm editing an episode. Yeah. That's my favorite thing.
I do feel like my sweet tooth has gotten a little bit stronger with the pregnancy, and if there's candy at work, it's harder for me to not have at least two pieces. And for people who work in healthcare, like there's candy everywhere in healthcare. Like healthcare professionals eat all of the candy.
I know we've already talked about this, but why don't you let us know for our listeners, do you have any pets?
Yes, we have two cats. We have Soren, who is a 3-year-old Maine Coon, and he's a big boy. He's 15 and a half pounds, he's so fluffy. He's the fluffiest, and he's also a big scaredy cat too. Like he's hiding right now because he doesn't like visitors. And then we have Stevie, who is a 2-year-old, 2-year-old tortoiseshell tabby cat. Nice. So she's got the pretty gray orange swirly coat, and she's more of a small, sleek lady. Mm-hmm.
Do they get along? Do they hang out? Do they play with
they
each other?
They do get along, yeah. That's so good. And Soren's the Maine Coon, and Stevie's the tortoiseshell, and they have slightly different personalities, but it's really fun to watch them play. Number one, because of the size difference,
yeah,
and just it's fun to see how Stevie holds her own against this big monster.
Yeah,
Soren, we actually got him because one of my friends from pharmacy school was on a walk with her son, and they found this tiny kitten, like a month old, like brand new kitten on the side of the road, and it was Soren, and they couldn't keep it because her son was acting like he was having an allergic response, because they were going to keep him, and she sent out to like our group text from pharmacy school with some of our friends, like, can anybody take this cat? And I saw him as a kitten with his big eyes, and I was like, we had a different cat at the time, and we always were like, oh, we're a one cat household, but then I saw this picture of Soren and I was like, can we get him? And then as he got bigger and bigger, I was like, did we adopt a wild animal? Was it actually a bobcat on the side of the road?
So closing out, what are some band goals or project goals, I guess, that you would like to get done by the end of the year?
Well, by the end of the year, I definitely want to have the EP ready to be mixed and mastered so that I can release it in the new year before the baby's born.
And oh yeah, when she did, you said you're
March.
4 months?
Okay. Yeah, so March. So it's kind of funny because like I just started really putting myself out there in the Richmond music scene in like the last year and a half.
Okay.
And just as like I'm starting to really get involved, like I'm gonna end up needing to take some time to, because I won't have as much time. And I mean, eventually I'll play shows and promote stuff again and work on projects, and I'll never stop writing. But it'll just look a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are plenty of people around Richmond who do music and they have kids. Like, it's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And we both love music, so no matter what, even if we were locked in our house in the pandemic, we would be playing music. So yeah, I guess a goal would just be finishing the EP and releasing it, as because I'm also just proud of the songs and proud to be like, also to tell my kid when they're older, be like, hey, I recorded that when you were when you were in there.
Yeah,
that's good. And then also just in the future, finding a way to balance that and. Balance still doing some music and having life.
We talked about it a little bit about Nashville, but not necessarily about Richmond, I don't think. When do you play out? Do you usually go to like open mics, or do you get shows at like house venues or more organized venues?
Usually more like breweries and wineries.
Okay.
And then occasionally shows at restaurants and other events. Like last Sunday I played a show for the Auriculars 5th anniversary on Sunday, and it was me and a couple other singer-songwriters, and we played at Rare Old Times. It's
okay. Hard for me to say too. I was just making sure I heard it.
It's an Irish pub in the West End.
Okay.
And and the more that I reach out and get to know other groups and bands, the more that I play at other venues. I've done an open mic here and there, but mostly just booking shows on my own. I played a lot at wineries, even through pharmacy school and stuff.
Okay. So, like I said, this episode might be out like within a week and a half or so. We're a little bit behind on getting that out, but hopefully we have next week off, so we'll catch up. With that being said, what are some next upcoming shows we can come see you at?
Yeah. So October 20th, I'm playing in Charlottesville at the Devil's Backbone location called, what is it called again? The Backyard? Need to look at my calendar. Yes, The Backyard. I'm playing from 6:30 to 9:30.
Oh, nice.
I played there in September, and it was really fun. That was my first time playing there, and my first time playing in Charlottesville totally.
Nice.
So, Charlottesville, come on out to The Backyard.
How are you going to fill 3 hours? Is it all original material? You got some covers in there?
I do have some covers. I usually play like 60-40 covers to originals, but I don't usually have a problem filling the 3 hours.
Very fun.
And my husband joins me on guitar for 6 of them to give my hands a little break so that I'm just singing. Because really the rate limiting step for that is that my hands get tired after playing for 3 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
I do take tiny breaks here and there, but it's mostly all the way through. Mm-hmm. And then I have one more show, October 29th. There's a Tiny Porch concert series.
I'm aware of that house.
Yeah. So I'm playing. They recently changed the time because the sun is setting earlier. And when they did it last week, it got really dark, really like faster than they thought. So they switched it from 5:30 to, let me find the poster.
It'll be dark by 5:30 almost, it seems.
Yeah, they switched the show from 5:30 to 4:30, so just like an hour, I think, or let me check. They sent it out, but maybe I didn't save it to my phone. Yeah, it might have been they switched it to 4 o'clock, but I'll have to look it up, and I'll post all that info on my social media and stuff. I'll be playing at the 615 West 33rd Street.
Okay. And then, oh man, it just completely went out of my mind. Goodness. Wow. Dude, we were like seconds away from ending, and I just completely blew out my mind.
Like what my social media is?
Yes, it was. It was what your social media is. It was like, where can we find and follow you? Okay. You just mentioned that.
Yeah. So my website, which has links to all of the things, is kayleymusic.com.
Okay.
K-A-I-L-E-Y music.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you're spelling my name, it kind of rhymes. You go K-A-I-L-E-Y. but my Instagram is at kales23, K-A-I-L-S-23. And I'm also on YouTube and Facebook and all the things under Kaylee Connor.
Very cool.
Connor with an ER.
So when we're going to go to that show on 29th, we can look up on your social media once you get that update and find out when you can play.
They just emailed like last week and it's been a little crazy.
No, I understand. Sometimes like I see the email, it is in my folder. I will come back to it when it's needed.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's perfectly all right. So yeah, that has been our 90th episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I have been Cole and here with
Kaylee Connor.
And please make sure to go on the social media and all the websites and find her music and everything that's out. And please go follow us at River City Sounds on Spotify and all the other places you listen to podcasts. It was 5 stars. Thank you so much.
Cool. Let's switch to the acoustic. Yeah. Cool. This song is called Pendulum. And it's kind of about how you change between your 20s and your 30s. And I just hit my 10-year anniversary of living in Richmond. And so that kind of spans a good portion of most of my 20s and then now into my 30s. And it's just cool reflecting on where you came from and how you're still kind of that person too. The song's called Pendulum. Home here in Virginia. It's unshakable, the feeling of push and pull. Disoriented from it all, and where to land if I fall. And I'm swimming on a pendulum between who I was and who I've become, who I was and who I've become. So this song I released earlier this year is like my first original song that I had released professionally, like recorded in a studio for like in like 10 years. So it was very exciting. And this song is called Sensitive, and it's on all streaming and all that jazz. But it's about being a sensitive person, and sometimes to a fault, where you take even compliments poorly, or you just can't accept any sort of constructive criticism to get better, and I'm working on it. But this song is making fun of myself, kind of, and it's called Sensitive. Up tape and thread. Been trying to build thicker skin, but I guess I'm doing it wrong. Cause all I feel is broken and like I don't belong. Poor little sensitive me. Better watch your words, cause baby, words could kill me. Poor little sensitive me. Poor little sensitive me. watch your words, 'cause baby, the words.